Won't you take me back to Tennessee?
I'm going to give it away. We're going to do TikTok today.
Oh, TikTok or talk?
Talk.
Okay.
T-A-L-K.
Spring is here. Today we're going to talk about ticks. Bugs are coming out. Unfortunately, ticks are coming out. People are going to be out in the woods.
75% of vector transmitted diseases now are from ticks. Rocky Mountain spotted fever, ehrlichiosis, tularemia, Lyme disease, almost flu-like. You're going to run a fever. You may or may not get a rash in the saliva. They secrete the cement to glue themselves in.
Wow, yeah, that's great.
So you need to get some tweezers, get down on that capitulum and grab it and pull the tick off. Do not grab the body. A lot of people think ticks drop out of trees. They don't drop out of trees. And they can't jump. And they can't fly.
So they're in the leaves on the plants.
Won't you take me back to Tennessee?
The award-winning Tennessee Wildcast is on the air with the latest info about hunting, fishing, boating, wildlife watching, and all things outdoors. This year, we celebrate the men and women of the TWRA responsible for 75 years of wildlife conservation. Now make welcome your host, Jason Harmon.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Tennessee Wildcast. I'm Jason Harmon. We're glad you're tuning in. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Mr. Don King is helping co-host.
Yes, sir, Jason. Yes, sir. I'm going to give it away. We're going to do TikTok today.
Oh, TikTok.
TikTok today.
Yeah. Talk or talk?
Talk.
Okay.
T-A-L-K.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting conversation today.
Yes, yes. I got some personal stake in that, too, so we'll share some stories.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Dr. Danny Bryan is back with us again. We met with him at Cumberland University last time, but now he's joining us in studio.
Excited to meet him for the first time today, so that's great.
I take it that was not a pun intended there.
Oh, well, pun intended for sure.
Yes, pun was intended. But before we jump into all this TikTok, Don, how about a radio station?
Yeah, yeah. Jeff and Missy Hayslip down in Lewisburg, we thank them for the idea, Jeff especially, for coming up with the idea for the Wildcast Extras that we're doing you know, 5 days a week for a lot of stations across the state. WJJM in Lewisburg, 8 a.m. Wildcast on Saturday mornings, and every day at 7:40 and 4:40 on WJJM, you can hear Wildcast. So we appreciate Jeff and Missy and WJJM right there in Lewisburg.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. We got two drive times there.
I know it. Yeah, morning and afternoon.
Yeah,
that's can't beat it.
Can't beat drive time. And I'll do another quick shout out. Just driving in this morning, I heard a little promo on WTN or on 104.5 The Zone here in Nashville.
Right.
So
yeah,
but you can listen to this show on WTN as well. So that was fun to hear your voice pop in there and advertising the show.
All right, in amongst some sports talk, I guess.
Yeah. Yep. It's that time of year. It's March Madness and talking football transitions and things for the NFL. So I was catching them on all this morning. But anyway. It's going to be a fun show today. Mr. Brian here with us. Let's jump in and introduce folks to you again. Folks who maybe didn't catch the first show, maybe highlight a little bit of what we talked about. But
if you missed the first show, go back and check it out.
Yeah, it's a must watch. A lot of folks tuned into that one.
Uh-huh.
If you missed it, go back and see it. But Brian, Dr. Brian, tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm retired, recently appointed professor emeritus at Cumberland University. Cumberland University, founded in 1842. Some people say that I began teaching there and back when Moby Dick was a minnow, but been there for a long time, finally retired and enjoying life on the farm, still doing a little bit of work with timber rattlesnakes and enjoying life.
All right, great.
If you're not familiar, Cumberland University, Lebanon, Tennessee, right here right in the middle of the state, pretty much.
So yeah.
You mentioned in the last show that it's part of the promise. It's a great promise. Yeah, great school for your first couple of years, or even a full career there, you know, or a full ride.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know our former commissioner Jeanette Rudy had a good stake in the nursing program there at Cumberland, didn't she?
The nursing program, and she was a big baseball fan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah.
Woody Hunt is an elite baseball coach there from at Cumberland University, but he didn't just coach baseball. There were other sports he coached as well, but he's noted for his baseball NAIA championship team.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a cool university and a pretty campus there in Middle Tennessee, so check it out if you're in the area. Like we said, the Timber Rattlesnakes, we talked about that on the first show, your work with the snakes, and that was a cool show. So go back and listen to that, watch that.
Yeah.
And it's worth a trip back. So spring is here. Today we're going to talk about ticks. Bugs are coming out. Unfortunately, ticks are coming out. People are going to be out in the woods, but you mentioned this before we started, but both of you have been affected.
Yes.
By a tick bite. So I kind of want to get the background on that today. So we're going to do some of that. But first, the types of ticks. So tell us, Dr. Bryan, about different types of ticks in Tennessee, what you're going to come across.
We have about 15 different species of ticks in the state of Tennessee. I think in the United States, it's around 90 species. Worldwide, don't hold me to this number, but I think it's over 300 species of ticks worldwide.
Interesting.
But in Tennessee, we have 15, and many of those are host-specific, like we have rabbit ticks, we have groundhog ticks, and you know, these kind of situations that don't affect us too much. But then there's four or five ticks that we have to be concerned about.
Hmm.
These include the American dog tick, the black-legged deer tick, the Lone Star tick. There's a brown dog tick, and there's a winter tick. And most of the ticks that we have and are concerned about are called hard body ticks. Exotic species, except for the winter tick, is a soft-bodied tick, and it primarily stays on deer its entire life. It doesn't leave the deer.
Okay. So the change in season, does that affect how the more they're out? That winter tick sticks around, is that what you're saying?
Well, the winter tick, like I said, stays on a host.
Right,
so it doesn't fall off. It'll stay on that host year-round, and we don't have to worry about that one too much. But these others... And what, something else a lot of people don't understand is it may take 2 or 3 years for a tick to complete its life cycle.
Okay.
So they'll feed and they'll drop off and they'll go through different stages, which we'll talk about a little later, and can move from host to host.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. All right. And then out of those 15, and like you said, we're not affected by all of those, but what's the worst one to look out for?
So we have... of course, the American dog tick, the black-legged deer tick, the Lone Star tick. We've got a Gulf Coast tick. We've got a new one coming in, the Longhorn tick.
Hmm.
These are the ones we need to watch out for. And again, these are all exotic type ticks, and they can carry a variety of diseases, and we can get into that a little bit later as well.
How do you think those get here?
If you take a look at how ticks are spread, you know, it almost looks like it goes, we see this from snake fungal disease even, believe it or not. We have this proliferation up in the northeast, and it spreads southward and westward.
Mm.
What do we think about that? If you think about that, that's kind of similar to bird migrations. Those migration routes coming down. So are
even white nose syndrome in bats.
Yes, exactly.
That pattern.
So why do we see that? And like I said, that tends to follow migration route. And ticks do get on birds.
Mm-hmm.
And birds can travel a great distance, and these ticks will drop off. So it could be a spread that way as well.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
I got a quick question.
Go for it.
See, you've been out, you come back home, you're hopping in the shower, you see a tick on your leg or wherever you find it. How's the best way to remove it?
And this is very important.
Okay.
A lot of people just grab the tick by the middle of the body and pull it off.
Uh-huh.
That is absolutely the wrong thing to do because if there's any leftover blood in the digestive tract, even, or any rickettsias in the bacteria in the digestive tract, and you grab that tick in the middle,
you're injecting yourself, aren't you?
Squirting blood back into you.
Hmm.
Now, a lot of people look at a tick and they see that projection on the end of it, and that's, they call that the head, and it's actually called a capitulum.
Okay.
They have, so ticks are arachnids. They're similar to spiders.
Uh-huh.
They're eight-legged. They don't have eyes, but they have that feeding apparatus that sticks out. It's called a capitulum, and that's where the mouth parts are.
Okay.
In that, they don't have chewing mouth parts. Like spiders, they have chelicera, which are fang-like projections. But chelicera can be fangs, which are pointed and have poison glands on the end of them, or venom glands, I should say. There's that word I should say. Venom glands, and some chelicera are chelate, where they have pinchers.
Okay. Hmm.
Ticks have these chelate chelicera, and they use these to nip a wound. They can also use them to hold on.
Mm-hmm.
And once they get the blood started, another part called the hypostome. The hypostome has spines on it that kind of like snake teeth that point backward.
Hmm.
And they use that hypostome to latch in.
Okay.
So they got these chelicera creating a wound to hold on, the hypostome. And then they have this pumping pharynx, which they use to pull blood into the body. And that's how they feed. And it's difficult when those spines get in, the chelicera, and also they have a cement. They, in the saliva, they secrete this cement to glue themselves in.
Wow, yeah, that's great.
So you need to get some tweezers or some type of device, get down on that capitulum and grab it and pull the tick off. Do not grab the body.
As close to the skin as possible, I guess.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Hmm. And something else that people may not realize, these ticks can also have a venom. And, you know, I'm going to call it a venom because it's saliva extracts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a deadening material in that, kind of like what mosquitoes have, so you don't feel them bite and feed. But there's other components in that saliva, for instance, which can cause tick paralysis. And you may have heard of tick paralysis with dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They get the tick, and the only way to get rid of it is to get the tick off.
Uh-huh.
People can get that as well.
Hmm.
People can get tick paralysis.
Yeah. Well, the other day I pulled one off our cat. It had gotten pretty big, and got those tweezers. I got a pair of pliers and got down as tight as I could. You know, it's similar to what you're talking about. Yeah, pull it off. And
hopefully the needle nose pliers.
Yep.
Okay, there
needle
you
nose.
Go.
Yep, down the tip. But anyway, let's talk about those stages. You came in earlier. We're talking out front and talking about different stages, and I thought that was interesting. So they're not fully grown. They have these different evolutions or stages.
I didn't realize the life cycle was so long.
Yeah.
A tick can live a long time without feeding.
Huh.
So let's just start with a gravid female. A female has gorged. She falls off the host. And once that happens, several days will go by. And during that time, she'll lay anywhere from 6,000 to 8,000 eggs that one time. But
I'm going to pause right there because these things are tiny.
I know.
And you talked about how they latch on and how they're doing this sucking thing and this cement stuff and all this in this little bitty thing.
Yeah.
And then 6,000 to 8,000?
Yes.
It's crazy. All right. Sorry to interrupt.
And that's all right. And that's why I'm
wrap my mind around that.
You know, I'm such a snake advocate. I despise ticks. I'm not a tick kind of guy. But now these tiny little eggs, and they'll hatch into a larva, very tiny. I'm sure everyone around here has gotten into seed ticks.
Oh, yeah.
And hundreds of them climbing up your leg, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that larva, and if you look at them close, they only have six legs. So maybe some people think, well, that's an insect. It has six. No, it's just the larval state. This larval, now the good thing is typically these larvae like that have not fed on any other host yet, and this is the first time, and you may just get a little, you know, typical mosquito type reaction to the bites from that, and don't have to worry about infection so much. But these little guys will gorge, and they'll drop off, and then they'll molt. And when they molt, they'll add another pair of legs. Now they've got their eight legs. And they'll go, and they'll find a host, and they'll feed again. This is a nymph stage. Feed again here. They'll drop off, and they'll molt. Okay? After they molt, they're going to go find another host. And they may do this one, two more times. They become adults. Males will be around females, you know, during that final stage. They'll reproduce and die. Females have been inseminated by the males, and they've got their eggs and fertilized now. And once they gorge, they'll drop off and start laying the eggs. And this whole process can take 2 to 3 years. And they live through the winter.
Wow.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's, even in really harsh, cold.
We don't have that anymore.
Okay, yeah.
And
a few cold days, but not it's not harsh, yeah.
Right, and let me kind of explain that. In the early days, when I was a kid, we had winter for weeks where it was freezing. We don't have those freezing temperatures anymore, which is important in controlling some of these pests. And this is where climate change comes in. You know, 75% of vector transmitted diseases now are from ticks. That's a pretty high number. But what happens in a real winter, and we get these freezing temperatures for days in a row, we get sublimation going on, which is the moisture in the ground will become gaseous, and we get this drying effect. That's what kills the ticks. That desiccation. So the desiccation can come from cold or it can come from heat. So, for instance, if you've got clothes that you suspect, you can throw your clothes in the washing machine and wash them, but that's not going to kill the ticks. But you can put them in the dryer. And the drying effect.
The drying
will kill the ticks. Okay. It's that lack of humidity and moisture.
Interesting. That's cool. Yeah.
That's a tip right there.
Don't wash them, dry them. Then wash them. So before we get too deep, and I don't want to run out of time, I want to hear y'all's stories, because y'all have been affected. Both of you have been affected by a tick bite and had some effects by it. And I want to learn, get into some of the things that you've had. You mentioned on the other show, Starry and all these other things that I'm not familiar with, which I want to learn more about too. So I'll let y'all battle it out. Who wants to go first?
Go ahead.
All right. Yeah. My episode started after we had been at the Bassmasters Classic. We'd been out for several days.
So this was a couple years ago.
Yeah. Around the river, you know, down in Knoxville. And I did not ever see a tick on me, but I started feeling bad. You know, I had a low-grade fever, just was not feeling myself, felt kind of like maybe I had the flu or something. I wasn't sure. So I went to a walk-in clinic. My wife talked me into it. Went to a walk-in clinic, and the nurse practitioner, thank you, Lord, knew what to look for. And she said, you know, it's a little early in the year, but here's what is going on with you. And she explained it to me, and we never did put a name on the disorder. It wasn't Rocky Mountain spotted fever necessarily, or I never heard a name, but some doxycycline for about 30 days got me over it. And you know, I thank her for spotting it. And I haven't had any issues. I guess maybe a year and a half later, I contracted COVID, and I think it awakened that tick-borne illness, whatever that was, because the symptoms came back. I got over the COVID and fine in about 3 or 4 days, but then those symptoms came back. I had to do the doxycycline again, and then I was okay. But anyway, that's kind of my story.
That sounds a lot like Lyme disease.
And
And the thing about Lyme disease, it can get into the joints, which makes it very difficult to treat because of the lack of blood support in the joints to get the, the antibiotic there. So Lyme disease is just really, really a bad thing to get. But I've had my share of tick ailments as well. And
well, you mentioned so many on the previous show, and that's why we wanted to revisit it today. And some of those I'm not even familiar with.
Right. There are some bad diseases that can be transmitted through ticks. And, of course, we got Lyme disease.
Yes.
Ehrlichiosis, which a lot of the dogs will get ehrlichiosis around here from ticks. Ehrlichiosis, tularemia.
That's the one that stood out. What's the effects of that?
So a lot of these, but let me go ahead. And,
sure.
And so we'll go ehrlichiosis, tularemia, Lyme disease. Let me think a minute here. Well, these three are going to have some very similar symptoms to them. Almost flu-like. You're going to run a fever. You may or may not get a rash. You may have some body aches and pains, and you'll think you have the flu.
Yeah.
But regardless, you're going to be treated in Rocky Mountain spotted fever. But Rocky Mountain spotted fever, you may or may not see the rash associated with it. You're going to be treated the same. And that's the thing. There's no quick test to do to see which one you have.
Mm.
But luckily, they're all going to be treated with doxycycline. When I had when I got Rocky Mountain spotted fever and back in the early 80s, it was minocycline that they treated me with.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I knew what I was seeing right away. The tularemia, also called rabbit fever, oh, that was horrible. I had a fever 103 plus.
Wow.
I mean, I was laid out. Huh. But again, tetracycline used to get rid of it. Lyme disease, I don't know if you got the rash or you saw the rash. And there's a different kind of rash. You know, you get a bullseye rash from Lyme disease, but that rash doesn't itch.
Hmm.
You know, you've got it's almost like you've been hit with a racquetball. If you've ever played racquetball,
yeah, definitely.
You use that red whelp there with a kind of a white area around it. Starry, which you mentioned from the Lone Star tick, Starry will also develop that bullseye rash, but it itches.
Mm.
And then, of course, with my case, with that Starry event, I also had alpha-galactose.
And I think that's one that affects, that's hard on people that love deer meat and other red meats and love to be outdoors. That's a tough one.
Absolutely. And the thing of it is, you can have alpha-galactose allergy and it not tie in that you have it, because the allergy, the reaction kicks in hours after you eat the meat, four, 6, 8 hours before you actually have a reaction.
Mm.
And you don't tie the two together. I tied the two together because of so many TWRA folks that I work with that have it. And when I had my reaction, I said, uh-oh, I think I know what this is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you'd had experience, been around folks who had, yeah.
And I think education like this is the key, because so many doctors, I don't think they're even... it's not even on their radar.
Right.
You know, when somebody walks in, they got flu-like symptoms, well, it's a flu, you know, and it can go 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then it drags on, and the fever's still there, and then they're scratching their heads. And by that time, like you said, if it gets to affecting joints and things like that, you know, you've been down the road with it, and it's going to be tougher to shake it.
Right. And that's just it. There's no quick test to come up with this. So you've got to take blood, and then you've got to send it off. And I believe you have to send it off to CDC or some other testing lab to check to see. Well, during that time, the infection is spreading. It's getting worse.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of doctors, when they suspect this, they go ahead and start the doxycycline. They go ahead and start you don't want to take a chance of it getting worse.
Exactly.
Definitely.
And something like tularemia can cause kidney damage in very short period of time.
Yeah.
Let's just be safe and do the doxycycline. It's not going to hurt anything. But, you know, we're mentioning spring here. When I was doing my rattlesnake research, ticks were out every month of the year. They're year-round.
Year-round now, not just the springtime.
Right.
Not just the hot, you know, the summer. And,
and I'm not saying last year. I'm going back decade.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
So let's talk about that because we only have a few minutes left. It's turkey season. People are going out, going to be chasing turkeys. How can they protect themselves? What's some steps that they can do, the sprays, the way they put their boots on, you know, tuck their clothes, things like that?
Magic repellent.
Yeah.
What is it? What's your secret to it?
From what I've seen with DEET or, you know, off, deep woods off and that kind of stuff, those Lone Star ticks that, they don't care.
Just drink it and keep moving.
Lone Star ticks are notorious biters. All right, this tastes bad here. I'll move somewhere else and bite before they actually latch on. So they'll find a spot. They will find a spot. So what I do, and I mentioned this in the other episode, was I wear snake boots, but I don't wear snake boots for snakes. You know, I don't know if I told you in the other episode, but I've been out radio telemetry work and tracking the snakes, and in the fall of the year, before the snakes actually go in hibernation, they'll leaf hide on cool days. They'll get down under the leaf litter, and I'm out there trying to see them, and I can't because they're not above ground, and I'll step on them. And I've stepped on the snake, head pops up, but I've never had one try and bite me when I do that. So I don't worry about the snakes. I worry about the ticks, and I'll take those snake boots, I'll take my pants, and I'll blouse them inside the boots. My shirt is tucked in. I'll wear a long sleeve shirt, even if it's 100 degrees, and tuck my shirt in my pants. And I use Permanone. I'll use Permanone. And of course, you're not going to use that on your skin, but I'll spray all my clothes with Permanone, especially the boots. A lot of people think ticks drop out of trees. They don't drop out of trees, and they can't jump, and they can't fly. So they're on that vegetation.
Gotcha.
So they're in the leaves. They're in, you know, maybe on the trees, on the plants and things.
On the grass, on the leaves and the grass. And they do this number with their front legs, and that's called questing. They are sensing a prey item coming by, and then when they do, they'll take those legs and latch on and then crawl up.
And then there you go. You're battling it.
Permanone.
Yep. Permanone.
I'm going to go buy some.
Douse your clothes. Don't spray it on your skin, right?
That's right.
Can be harmful there, I guess.
Right.
Make sure you're smart about that.
And it lasts about 2 weeks.
Okay.
On your clothes, on your boots.
Gotcha.
But I always refreshed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always refreshed.
I will too.
get a six pack of those cans and keep dousing. Well, this has been some cool information.
Yeah.
I know folks that are going outdoors, it sounds like it doesn't matter when you go outdoors, be prepared and try to prevent being bit, you know?
Yes.
Get you the spray, tuck your clothes. But this has been very helpful, very informative.
Yeah. I appreciate Dr. Brian coming in.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
Very much. This is becoming a regular occurrence. You might come back again.
You know, once you teach, you always teach.
Yeah.
Yep. He's got a he's living on the farm now and enjoying life, so maybe we'll go to his farm sometime.
Hey, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yep. See what I'm doing for quail management.
There you go. That'll be fun to talk about.
Next episode.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Dr. Brian, appreciate it. Don, thank you.
Thank you.
This is Tennessee Wildcast. Keep coming back, keep watching, keep listening, and we'll see you next time.
Stay connected with TWRA by visiting our website at tnwildlife.org and follow us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Join us as we celebrate 75 years of conservation in our great state. You can invest in Tennessee's wildlife future by purchasing a license at GoOutdoorsTennessee.com. That's GoOutdoorsTennessee.com.